peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We talk a lot about peace during this time of year, right? Thanksgiving is behind us. We all ate too much, right? We got leftover turkey for days. Everyone here survived Black Friday, right? No one got trampled. So we've made it through that part of the season. And now we get to the next part of the season, which is the Christmas season, one of my favorite times of the year. And we talk this time of year a lot about peace. Who wants peace? All right, a few of y'all like a fight, but most everybody likes peace. Peace is important, but do we have peace? Can we find peace in this chaotic holiday season? You know, I really can't think of a topic to talk about that's better than peace. Don't you think the world needs a little more peace? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. So through the month of December, we're going to be talking about peace as we talk about the holiday season. So as you're around people, friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, people that you know are struggling, people who have seemingly no peace in their lives, invite them to church. Invite them to come and hear what God's Word has to say about the topic of peace. People are longing for real peace, and it's our job to tell them about it. Somewhere out there this morning, there's a home where a mom and dad aren't getting along. They've been threatening divorce. Neither of them wants it, but they don't know how to get the fighting to stop, and neither do their kids. Somewhere this morning, there's a guy in high school, and he's feeling pretty harassed and pushed around by the worry of what other people think about him. And meanwhile, he's still trying to figure out what he thinks of himself. There's a man out there this morning who has a job that he doesn't really like, and it's stressing him out because the company keeps putting more and more on him, and they tell him to do more with less, and it's taking a toll on his family life. There's a single mom out there this morning struggling to make the finances work. She didn't plan this for her life, but this is her situation. There's an elderly lady out there this morning who's living all alone, and her family doesn't keep track of her, and her retirement money is running out, and life to her seems to have less and less reason for her to have peace. Today, all over the country, all over the world, we see violent acts, terrorist attacks, senseless school shootings, and as a society, we all disagree on how to deal with it. And in the midst of all this, in the holiday season, we hear the words, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we struggle. Is this some kind of delusional escape for us? Is this some kind of head-in-the-sand idealism that doesn't mesh with reality? No, church, it's God's word. Because in the midst of all of that, our God provides peace. Amen? Our God provides peace. What message could be more desirable right now than a message of peace? You know, the whole Bible is all about God's wonderful plan for peace, isn't it? We see it starting out in Genesis, and we see it all through the Bible, previews about this coming peace, the one who was going to bring peace. And the night Jesus is born, angels come, and they announce good news with great joy for all the people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men on whom his favor rests. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. As we approach the holiday season, I want us to look at some scriptures that maybe we don't always talk about during Christmas. I want us to look at a section of scripture that's after the fact of Jesus' ministry, one that looks back. And this scripture this morning is one that Paul wrote as he was inspired by God in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. The mission of Jesus on this earth was a mission of peace, wasn't it? That's what he came to bring. And I love the way God's word is always applied in our lives, whether this was 2,000 years ago or right now. The word of God is the same. There have always been people struggling to get along with each other, right? We see that in the world. We see that in the church. That hadn't changed. It still happens. How do we have peace with each other in the holiday season? You see, the good news about Jesus was given first to the Jewish people. You know, they were looking for the Messiah, weren't they? They were looking for the promised one, the chosen one, the one that was going to come along. And for them to learn that Jesus was this promised one should have been a very natural and smooth transition in their relationship with God. They were looking for him, and now here he is. But many of the Jews just couldn't see any room for non-Jews in God's plan, could they? They just couldn't see it. Or if there was room for non-Jews, they would be second-class citizens, so to speak. Feelings between Jews and non-Jews have always been tense, right? It's not just something in our lifetime. And it was happening a lot in the first century in Rome when the Romans always had to hold the Jews under their thumbs. And there was no love lost there. You know, Jewish civil and religious law says that a Jewish man must pray every morning, "Blessed be the Lord for not making me a Gentile." Wow. Another Jewish religious law, the daughter of an Israelite may not assist a Gentile woman in childbirth, since she would be assisting to birth a child for idolatry. Think about that. You're in your village. A Gentile woman's trying to give birth, and she asks a Jewish woman to help her. What's a Jewish woman say? "No, sorry, the law forbids it. I can't help you. It would be sinful for me to help you give childbirth." Can you nurses out there comprehend that? Seems weird, right? For human beings, we can't comprehend that. But that was the society. That was the law. Cities and colonies all over Rome were full of non-Jews. And as the church grew, these people found themselves being invited to be Christians. But for years, they'd been hearing about how the God of the Jews certainly had no place for them. This separation was big. This separation was social. It was physical. It was religious. It was national. It was even racial. Many of the Christians who had previously been Jews made it clear that non-Jewish people just weren't quite on the same level when it came to being justified in God's eyes. So meanwhile, back in Ephesus, a Roman city, many of the non-Jews had become followers of Jesus. And Paul writes what we just read to encourage these folks. And he talks about how the non-Jews find a place to belong in God's kingdom. And that gives us encouragement, church. These Gentiles who were previously outsiders in things relating to God can now be insiders. Have you ever felt like an outsider in life? Have you ever been any place where you feel like you're on the outskirts? There's a group of people, they're the popular people, they're the go-to people, they're on the inside, but you're on the outside. We understand what that feels like. And the Gentiles, the new Christians, were feeling this way. They were the other guys, so to speak. And that would be true of all of us today. I'm not aware of anyone here who was born Jewish, right? So we would all be in this boat. And we read these and we find joy and we find comfort and encouragement that God has made a way for us to all be part of his kingdom, his house, his family. They needed to be reminded that they were accepted and they could be on the inside just as much as everyone else. I wonder what it was like for a former Jewish person to read this. I wonder what it was like for those who were always on the inside with a 2,000-year heritage of being God's chosen people. I wonder what it would have been like for them to realize God is now accepting those who were far off, who had no way to him. What would it have been like to read about your mistaken right to look down on other people? You see where I'm going with this? Ephesians is written to the other guys, those on the outside. But I find another dynamic at work here that applies to us today. You see, God's word wasn't written just for 2,000 years ago or hundreds of years ago. It's written for right now. And I think sometimes as English-speaking Americans, Christian church members, we need reminded sometimes that other people, those on the outside are allowed to be a part of this too. You see, God died. Jesus died on that cross for everybody. Jesus has a plan for peace on this earth. And the first way I see him bringing this plan of peace, where we can have peace with each other, we read about in Ephesians 2:13-15. Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace." One way Jesus brings this peace is by taking away privilege and exclusivity. We live in a society where privilege is elevated, don't we? We live in a society where the elite are exclusive and not really willing to be inclusive of anybody else. Well, this isn't anything new in 2019, is it? It's always been this way. You see, the temple in Jerusalem was surrounded by